Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we preview the Detroit Lions Week 8 Monday Night Football matchup with the Las Vegas Raiders. What do we know about the Raiders at this point? What are we expecting from each team? And what do we view as vitals for success? We'll talk about any other major storylines as well, including recent roster moves as well as the approaching trade deadline. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hey, everyone, this is Lomas Brown, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined by Coach Jerry Angers, named Michigan High School Coach of the Year, as well as Coach of the Week by the Detroit Lions. He's also mentored numerous players at the college level and some all the way to the NFL. Good to have you here, Coach.
Great to be here, Matt, as always.
Folks, as we get into this, just a reminder, listeners, please hit that subscribe or like button. It is helping us build momentum. Well, Coach, we've often said this is fun to do because the Lions keep coming off wins, but this week it's coming off a loss and a really bad one at that. But you know what, Coach? The Lions are 5-2, and I'm not sure about you, but this is about exactly where I had hoped they would be at this point. And the key word is hoped, because before the season, you never know how things are going to start out. And at 5-2, that's a pretty darn good start.
I agree. I mean, the big thing too, Matt, you know, it is as Lions fans, we want them to be 7-0 right now. And we come up with the negativity stuff. As soon as they lose a game, oh my God, here they are. They're back, you know, and, or they're not back, whichever way you want to look at it. So, hey, I think we're in great shape. Okay. We talk about how they dropped to 5-2 this week with a 32-point loss back in 1991. The Lions dropped to 5-2 with a 32-point loss on the road also, but this one was in San Francisco. Is there a correlation between that? We won't know, but we'll find out and we'll match at the end of the year.
I like that stat, and I'm hoping that you're onto something there, because I will say at the end of the last episode, the recap, I said many people felt let down at 5-2, and you know, I've had a few days to ponder this, and you kind of brought it up as well. I've got to say, I might not have liked that Raven game as much as anybody else, but you and I have talked, and if a few things go differently early on, it could suddenly have the potential to be a very different game. And so at 5-2 going into the last game before the bye, I really like where we stand.
I totally agree. And you know, you talk about that in the game situation again, let's go back to that. You know, it's the NFL. You know, if you're going down the roller coaster, you're flying down the hill on that, and you can't get to the next hump to get over it, you're gonna be in trouble. And that's what happened with the Lions game. 2-3 and outs, down 14-0. You know, 1-3 and out, if Laporta doesn't slip on his route, I'm not sure how many people notice that. You know, we may move the chains on that one. We're definitely gonna move the chains on it. Who knows what happens? You know, if we score before halftime and we score coming out after halftime, totally different game. Hey, we're 5-2 and we're happy about that. That's for sure.
Exactly. Those are great points that you and I talked about, and talking about a completely different game. We got the Las Vegas Raiders coming into town. The Raiders are 3-4 coming into this game. They dropped their most recent game to the Chicago Bears. The Bears, Justin Fields was not in that game. Jimmy Garoppolo for the Raiders was not in that game. He's been banged up. He missed that game, and they are expecting and hoping to have him back for the Lions game. Brian Hoyer played last week for the Raiders. Now, the team has their top rusher back from last year in Josh Jacobs. But he is averaging less than 3 yards a carry right now. That is not a winning stat. And that being said, Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers are both legit receiving threats, with Adams still being elite if you can get the ball to him. But what are you looking at on that offense there, Coach?
Well, I think that's, you know, you said it right there with Jacobs. He's probably arguably, he could be arguably one of the best, if not the best running back in the league. And opponents are holding him under 4 yards. You know, you got to look at, you know, the athleticism stuff that they have. And then you got to look at the wide receiver group. You know, what did you just, you just made a point on that. What's going on with the wide receiver group? And with Jimmy G back, you know, back to their starter, you know, you got to start thinking about, it's kind of, it's a dangerous team.
I know you should not underestimate any team, you know, and we bring that up. I mean, heck, look at the 49ers and the Vikings playing on Monday Night Football. That's not a warning to not underestimate a team. Nothing should. But I do want to point out, I really think the Raiders have only gone backwards ever since ownership decided to not keep interim head coach Rich Bisaccia a couple years ago, because they went and they hired Josh McDaniels. And Rich, if you remember, during that season where he got brought in when the team was a mess, he got those players to buy in. They were building something. And I've only seen the Raiders getting worse as the team has continued to transition since then without much of an identity.
You know, and I agree. I mean, when you get that changeover, you know, you get changeover in coaching staff and it keeps rolling because they want, you know, they want initial success. You know, they want success right out of the gate, and then they're kind of struggling. People are trying to step up and get their teams in line to win football games. You know, look at Dan Campbell. What was his first season like? You know, and then a second season, and then we're into a 1-6 start. You know, the Lions stuck with that, and it's starting to pay dividends on it. Where the Raiders, you know, they kind of just said we're gonna turn over until we get the right guy in here. You know, or who we think is the right guy in here. Does that make sense? I mean, and I think those are the changeups.
Oh, for sure. They've just had a lack of identity with their whole thing. Right now, their offense is in the bottom five in total yards. The Lions' offense is top five, and when it comes to points scored, the Raiders dropped to the bottom three in the NFL. And if we turn around and look at their defense, they're right around the middle of the pack in the NFL with points allowed, averaging 23 points. And the Lions are averaging giving up 21.6 points. So their defenses don't seem to be that far apart. Obviously, that factors in the last game for the Lions. But also, the Lions' offense seems to be in a much different spot with the Raiders' offense. And so that's kind of what I see from the Raiders coming into this game. Do you have anything else out of Las Vegas?
I mean, I agree with you on that. The key with Las Vegas is, you know, again, we can argue about, they got a guy on their side on the defensive line named Max Crosby, who's coming back to state of Michigan to, you know, where he went to college. And he's the highest graded pass rusher in the NFL. He's the highest graded run stopper in the NFL. That was as of last week. So who cares if he's one or two? He's not just a pass rusher. He's not just a, just a run stopper. He can do it all. And that's the thing with him, is he's a scary individual that could turn a game around in a heartbeat.
Oh, you're absolutely right. He is a game-changing player. It's going to be real interesting to see the game plan the Lions put in place for him, because that's a player you have to plan for.
He's one of those guys that will ignite the team with his, you know, with how hard he goes. You know, he's going 100 miles an hour on every play, and you know he's going to try to ignite his team with a big play, or ignite his team by, you know, as a leader for that team.
Well, now let's turn our attention to what we expect out of the Detroit Lions coming into this game. Coach Campbell said that after watching the tape, after watching and thinking about the last game, he said, you see what it is. He said, ultimately, when you step back and you look at a number of performances that were very subpar across the board, and he said he did not do a good job of getting them ready.
I did not, you know, and it'd be one thing if there was just a couple of guys here or there, but ultimately it was that I didn't have them ready. And I've got to do a much better job of getting them prepared, which I will this week. We'll be ready for the Raiders.
Coach, yep. I have no doubt that Coach Campbell is going to have this team ready to play. So let me ask you, from your experience, how does a coaching staff respond to this type of a loss, especially considering the Lions are a talented team, not a struggling team that came off a bad loss?
Yeah, and I think the emphasis will be, let's watch it. Let's see what our mistakes were. There are probably too many for us to go over all the time. And let's go back and look at how we approached practice last week to get ready for this game. And so that was one of the biggest things, in, you know, in those sound bites that Campbell talked about. You know, there's when you're playing a tough game like that, or a tough opponent as a football coach, you know, you may take an individual drill out of the mix. You know, you may say, you know, we cut 10 minutes off of offense and defense indies because we have to get more scheme in here. Excuse me, because of these guys. And I think that's some of the stuff that he had talked about, you know, going back to the fundamentals and doing, if you do the right thing in the fundamentals, they'll take care of themselves during the game. And our fundamentals are missing on numerous plays, you know, especially defensively, holding your own gaps or holding your own alleys, or, you know, chasing Lamar when he rolled out for 9 seconds and ended up throwing a touchdown pass across. So I think that's, you know, that as a coach, you talk about that. You know, you lose by one or two, you're bummed out. Oh my God, we could have just changed one thing or two things. When you get blown out by 32, there's numerous things to change. So you better go back to the drawing board and look at what happened during the week and during practice and how he says he doesn't have the team prepared. And that's what he's focused on. I'll guarantee their practices this week probably almost look like the second or third week of preseason with drill work.
Does a game like this coming off of that affect the players and the coaches differently, or is it kind of a collective feeling?
It's a collective feeling. I mean, the players will look in the, hopefully they're looking in the mirror and going, man, why did I not? This is what coach told me what to do. This is what the scheme was that we put in. Here's where I decided I was going to make the play and didn't trust my brother on the left of me or the right of me. And that's the biggest thing with that. Coaching staff, they take it to heart. Like Dan Campbell just said, I did not have those guys ready, because he, you know, he's mad. He's mad at himself. I guarantee he looked in the mirror and said, it's on you. It's not on them. And he's going to make sure that works. So, you know, collectively, they both feel the same. Coaching wise, you're going to try to evaluate the guys and make sure that they do exactly what they're supposed to do scheme wise. And the player wise is going to say, I'm going to do what coach is telling me to do, and I'm not going to go out on my own and try to be the hero.
Now, defensive back coach Brian Duker also spoke with the media. He touched on how the secondary might make some adjustments.
Dan, some already alluded to, when, you know, continue to try to tighten up our man coverage, you know, and then as far as not, you know, I'd say not allowing some deep pass plays and however they come, you know what I mean? We talked about not necessarily balls through the air, but okay, maybe it's catch and run opportunities and try to eliminate some of those as well.
Now, I know there are questions, Coach, about the quarterback position for the Raiders, but we've already talked about Davante Adams is still an elite receiver. They've got Jacoby Myers. How do you expect the Lions secondary to play or respond after coming off that last game?
Well, going from there, I think we're going to have more press coverage. I think we're going to get up in their face a little bit more. We had a lot of soft coverage last week. But again, we also had a guy who had to play cornerback who was told on Friday or Saturday that he was probably going to start it. Cornerback and so those are the big things. I think they'll be more aggressive. We watched it, you know, in person, of course, and I was watching thinking, man, this just looks like we changed some things up. And I think that all comes into, we changed it up because we had a mobile quarterback that we had to defend. And I think we confused our coverages with defending a mobile quarterback. You know, it happened against Seattle, the exact same thing. And I think that's one of the things that's the changes that they will make, and maybe not leave as much scheme work as well as more technique work.
Well, you brought up that Seattle game. That's the only other game we've lost. And we remember Coach Campbell talked after they won their game after that about how he was thankful that people put up with him that week. And you kind of talked about practice, but do you think there might be some similarities this week of practice as there were after that Seattle game?
I think so. I think he's going to turn it up a little bit, you know, and not turn it up to where he's going to create injuries and stuff like that, knock on wood. But I think even, you know, last week, I think they gave a Monday off and they did walkthroughs because they had gone through four tough games. And I think this week is going to be the same thing with the Seattle concept. This is what we have to focus on. And again, I think it's going to come down to the individual by position drill work to fit into the scheme that they want to run. So yeah, I think it's exactly the same. I don't want people telling us that we're the number one team in the country. I know Coach Campbell doesn't want that. We don't want in the NFL. I don't want people going and saying, oh my God, they're a great football team. I mean, both times we start getting this massive press coverage and everything after the Kansas City game, we lose to Seattle. Last week, you know, Stephen A. Smith declares us the number one team. And then, so I think that's one of the things that concept that the coaching staff and the players are going to develop and say, we want to be the hunter, not the hunt. And we want people, us going after people, not people coming after us.
I see that point exactly. And I think that kind of goes into the last couple of things I see on the Lions side here is we want to see a focused team that's hungry to win. We want to see that out of the Lions this week. And I also think we have a very different opponent this week, not just in talent level, but also in style of play. And that starts with the quarterback position. So those two things should play into the Lions' favor. So let's switch over to some major storylines, and we'll actually switch over to roster moves. The Lions made a few of these this week. You know, wide receiver Marvin Jones is no longer with the team. He did not travel for the last game. He stepped away for some personal reasons. And then he did appear to ask the Lions for his release, which they granted him. Running back Muhammad Ibrahim went to injured reserve. He was injured in the game against Baltimore. And then the Lions signed Jermar Jefferson, an old name we know, to the practice squad at running back. So those are some roster moves. The trade deadline is approaching, Coach. You know, I talked about this a little bit with James Cook in our previous episode. It is Tuesday at 4 p.m. And, you know, Coach Campbell kind of addressed this when he talked on 97.1 The Ticket. And he talked about the trade deadline saying, I don't ever want to do anything that will mess with the chemistry of this team. He said, we got the right guys here right now. He said, Brad and I are tied to the hip and he understands values got to be right. It's got to be something that we feel like can help us, fits us, but can't be something that messes with what we got going on here. Coach, that echoes everything you and I have talked about this offseason and leading into the season is, and even back in the draft, they have to have the right fit. And that's what we like about this team. So, Coach, are there any areas of need that you hope the Lions might be finding that right fit for in these upcoming days?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, it's what everybody talks about, the D-line and the cornerback position, you know, because of injuries or because of that. You know, Hutch has gone two games without a sack. I don't even know how many pressures he's had in those two games, you know, and not just talking about Hutch, but Kaminsky and those guys. You know, where are they grading? So I think it's something the Lions are going to look at after this week. They have a bye week. Of course, it's a short before the trade deadline, but they will also get themselves in a situation. Who is going to fit into that? What is needed? And again, we talk about they have guys that they see are going to come off the IR, hopefully before the end of the season. So that's something when they come off, you know, let's talk about Houston, for instance. If he's going to come off the IR, you know, week 13, week 14, week 12, we don't know. You know, the Lions and the management knows that. So, you know, those are things that they may not address, but they also may go out and say, yeah, we have to have one more D lineman. We have to have one more corner because of injuries. You know, the big thing is because of injuries. You know, you lose CJ and you lose Mosley, and then Jacobs, you know, was hurt last week. You know, that's three integral parts on that secondary. So, but I think those are two positions of need, and hopefully we can address those either coming off the IR or address them with before the trade deadline.
Yeah, and we don't know what to expect. As we've mentioned, the Lions have not been here with Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell before. And by here, I mean having a winning record and leading the division as week 8 approaches. And if there's anything that says, hey, maybe they might do something, remember, they signed Teddy Bridgewater pretty late as their backup quarterback, showing how important they felt it was to have depth there. And that makes me think that the DB position is the one to get the most attention, because that's the area that has been hurt the most by injury. So that's the most logical spot. But I will say I'm confident in whatever they end up doing, because they might not do anything, but that doesn't mean they didn't investigate it. Because we've talked about this. I don't think they're going to overpay for a player or jeopardize something in the future because of something for right now, and it's got to be the right fit. That clubhouse culture is so important. Coach, we hear about culture, but you've coached a locker room. I'm sure you have had varied locker rooms, some that are more united and working together, and some that might be a little bit just a group of people that aren't quite working for each other. Explain to people the difference and how important that is.
Well, I think it's when they look at each other, we can talk, let's talk example. Trace Walker is beat out at the beginning of the year as a starter by Branch. They bring CJ Gardner in and just basically to start with him or over him. And Walker's, what's Walker's responsibility? Branch is just better than me. Well, now Walker's playing and he's doing a great job. You take Bugs, for instance. Bugs sits for the first 2 weeks. You know, was he mad? Yeah, he was mad. He just signed a decent contract. He's a starter. He had a great, he had a pretty good year last year, and he looks for a better one this year. And what does he do? He just works his tail off, doesn't complain. You don't read about him, I'm out of here. You don't see him in the thing, somebody trade me. He just says, I'm going to keep grinding. And so, you do that also with our DN that they benched our captain last week that they didn't address. And he's going to work. So that culture is those guys looking around at each other. Going, okay, he's better than I am, but if he gets hurt, I gotta replace him. And if you can't, if you have that one negative, one bad apple, the weakest link of the chain, all those different things make a big difference. And long as we continue to do and play and want to be a part of it, you're going to see that guys taking pay cuts where they could have went out and did free agency last year. I want to be here. That's why we know that this team is going to bounce back, and we know that they're going to be successful throughout the year.
Coach, that was a perfect example of talking about how the culture is there, right? It's not fragmented if someone gets started over by somebody else. They're working together. They're getting each other better. And then the player is ready to step up when their job is called for. Mm-hmm. Coach, we've seen other teams making some moves here and there. So this is going to be something to keep an eye on for sure. But another thing to keep an eye on is there's something else special taking place on Monday night in addition to the game. And that is former Detroit Lion Lomas Brown is getting inducted into the Pride of the Lions. Now, I was fortunate enough to interview Lomas earlier this year, and he is such a deserving guy, the big fella. He's not just a great player, but also a nice person. He spent 11 years playing for the Lions, part of an 18-year NFL career. He was first-team All-Pro in 1995 with the Lions, seven-time Pro Bowler, part of the 75th Lions anniversary team, and 3 years ago, he was inducted into the College Hall of Fame. Now, since leaving the game as a player, Lomas has stayed active in the community once he retired here in Michigan. And part of that is with the Lomas Brown Jr. Foundation, and their mission is to engage youth in physical fitness programs, healthy nutritional habits, academic enhancements, the study of technology and the life skills development to create a mindset of success while fostering diversity and inclusion. Now, Lomas has also done work with Team 84 and Herman Moore, who also runs his Tackle Life Foundation. And that's another former Detroit Lion, staying local and helping the community where he has impacted so many during his playing days and after. And the Tackle Life Foundation seeks out young people and provides them with programs and people to develop their natural skills and abilities and helps them reach success personally and professionally. Now, a couple of Lions greats right there, and it's pretty awesome that Lomas is going to be joining his former teammate Herman Moore and the Pride of the Lions. Now, Coach, you know Lomas Brown pretty well. Can you speak to what this honor means to him?
Well, I think, I go back to when I first met Lomas, and I actually did some work for 3-4 years with the Lomas Brown Jr. Foundation, which anybody that heard that or think you guys want to donate to any of those, please reach out to either one of those guys, because it's just a great way to know that you're giving back to the community and helping those guys achieve their goals off the field. They always had their goals on the field, but I mean, it means the world to them. I know I talked to them about after they announced it on the board. I think it was a preseason game, and he was just ecstatic. His face, you could see, I know there were tears in his eyes. because he knows that he's giving back to the community after, you know, he's been so successful in the things that he's done. And I remember working with him, and we bussed him, and I got to tell a great story, because we bussed some kids, him and Rodney Pete. I was working at Ford Wixom Assembly Plant, and we wanted to bring some inner city kids in by bus to see what the factory workers look like and possible jobs and the pay and stuff like that. And I got a call from Lomas while they were, that the bus had broken down on I-96 going to the Wixom Assembly Plant. And so Lomas and Rodney are on this bus with all these kids. And we ended up setting it up, and the Ford Wixom Assembly Plant sent out Lincoln Town Cars and Mark 8s and Continentals to pick all these kids up, and Lomas and Rodney. And I just remember Lomas and Rodney walk into the plant to meet with me. And they were just, Lomas had that Lomas Brown grin on his face going, "Dude, that's some serious service right there. We were on a bus, yellow bus, and then we rode in the big Continentals and stuff." So
that's really cool. And Coach, that experience for those kids who aren't kids anymore is one that they probably remember still to this day and likely tell other people about from time to time.
Again, I'm just so happy for the guy. As you can tell in my voice, we've kept in contact over the years. And I'm just happy for him that he's getting this honor, which is well deserved and well past its time.
That's awesome. That's a great story. And that's an awesome connection right there. Coach, Monday Night Football is special. It always has been. You know, it might feel a little different with this added Thursday thing they got going, but going back, it's always been a big deal. It's been the primetime game that people always wanted to watch. And I don't know if I've told you this or not, but my first NFL game was in 1990. It was a Monday Night Football game. Oh, by the way, it was the Detroit Lions against the Los Angeles Raiders at the Pontiac Silverdome, because the Raiders were out of LA at the time. That was 1990. So if you do the math and do a little historical research, that was Barry Sanders and Bo Jackson, two of the greatest. I had to double check their stats, but Barry ran for 176 yards and two touchdowns in that game. Bo had 129 and a touchdown. You know, this upcoming game has me reaching back into nostalgia a little bit, thinking about that Monday Night Football game that I went to. I mean, I was back in middle school then, and my Uncle Steve took me and my brother Mark to that game. It was pretty special. I still remember walking into the Pontiac Silverdome right as kickoff was happening. And back then, I got to admit, seat assignments were not too readily available when purchasing tickets. I mean, you went into stores like Hudson's in Grand Rapids, and they had like a Ticketmaster office that the people could see numbers and stuff, but there were not seat maps. So we get into the stadium, we find our section, we head up to our seats, we're walking up to them, we keep walking up to them, the rows keep going. We did not stop until we get to the top row of the Pontiac Silverdome. And that place held like 80,000 people or something. It held a lot more than Ford Field. So you were really high up. Nonetheless, that was such a fun experience. So thankful to my uncle for taking us to that game. And so it's fun to take a trip down memory lane as I think about that and get ready for the Lions to take on the Raiders this Monday night.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, and you're right. Monday Night Football is special. You know that. It's the only game on that day. It's that night. People are able to watch it. Again, they're putting us back on the map. I know the Lions are coming out with those super cool helmets. Who knows if they're going to change the field. And I think the atmosphere is going to be outrageous. It could be louder than it has been already this year because it's Monday Night Football. And again, everybody looks forward to it. How many times have the Lions played on Monday Night Football in the last 10 years? And so I think that's one of the things that's going to come into play. And again, it's a team that wants to get back on the winning track. It's a team that wants to go into the bye week at 6-2. And it's a team that want, you know, to show the country that, you know, we are an elite club. We can beat anybody in this league. And I'm looking forward to that Monday night game.
Yeah, I look forward to hearing that atmosphere because I think it could get pretty loud. You mentioned the helmets. You're right. They're wearing the blue ones with the old school logo that were unveiled earlier this year. Those are considered their alternate helmets. And note, they can only be worn with a Color Rush uniform. So expect to see the Color Rush uniforms. And speaking of uniforms, it was a year ago that I did a little dressing up because this is a Halloween night. So expect to see Halloween costumes in the crowd, fans and listeners. And I was one of those people a year ago. I dressed up as Coach Dan Campbell for Halloween, and it was amazing. I told this story a few months ago, but before the game, I was down there, like in the front row, and I yelled out to him as loud as I could, and I got his attention and told him I dressed up as him for Halloween, and I was still wearing the costume. I got him to smile and kind of laugh and wave to me. And I just wanted to point something else out that really isn't funny. It's actually pretty amazing. And it is this. Before that game, Dan Campbell's record in Detroit was 4-19-1. Because that was a Green Bay Packer game. They were 1-6 at the time. Since that time, since I dressed up as Dan Campbell, the Lions have gone 13-4. And so I'm hoping that continues.
I totally agree. I love the story on that one, Matt. And I'm sure that superstitious as we are, keep that one rolling, because we want to keep rolling with the W's.
Awesome. And then one last thing about the Monday Night Football game. It's apparently Aiden Hutchinson bobblehead night. So if you're one of the first people in the stadium, you can get an Aiden Hutchinson bobblehead. All right, Coach, we are at that time for predictions. Again, you can predict anything you want about the game. Doesn't have to be the winner. Doesn't have to be the score. It can be a stat. It can be about a player. What are you thinking? What are you predicting?
Well, I'm predicting our technique will be much better. I'm predicting that we will be able to come back after being, you know, on both sides of the ball. Last week we went 3-and-out. We went 3-and-out. And I predict that if we do have a 3-and-out, our defense will step up just like they have the previous couple of weeks and make a stop to get the ball back in the offensive hands, and vice versa. I believe the offense will be moving the ball, which will also take off pressure for the defense. And we'll definitely play as the full team, all three phases. Our technique will be back to being near perfect. And we will see a lot of those guys rated on the PFF next week.
Awesome. I would like to see all of those things as well. I predict the Lions are going to have a real rebound game, just like you said. I think they're going to be put through it this week in practice. I think the coaches, the players, they all want to say, hey, this was like Carolina last year, which meant they came back the very next week and took care of business. I would not be shocked if they run for 100 yards plus. They pass for maybe 250 yards. I'm expecting the Lions to get the job done. And I'm also expecting that the crowd plays a role in this game. I think you are going to see a group of fans passionate about this game, and I think it's going to play out, and you're going to hear it through your television sets at home.
That's a great call, great prediction.
Coach, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Just looking forward to getting through the rest of the week. That Lions are having some great practices, that we get some couple guys that are healthy, and a couple guys that understand their assignments, and we put on a show on Monday night. And just to quiet the negative people down a little bit. But that's all good. That's what we're here for.
Like you said, I don't need to be number one on anybody's board. And I don't have to listen to the naysayers either. I'm believing the process that Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell and Sheila Fort-Hamp have been putting in place. And I'm going to continue to follow them on their process because it seems to be working. Thanks again, Coach. Really appreciate the time.
All right, Matt. Thanks to you.
And thank you so much for tuning in, folks. You can find all the episodes at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. While you're at it, tell your friends about the show, and please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.